Bibles this morning to the New Testament. Want us to go to book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And we're going to take one verse for our text. I need to read several. I'll need to refer to some others. I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on the uncertain trumpet. And we'll find that here in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's just read a few verses beginning in chapter 1. And it says, follow after charity. Paul, of course, is writing to the church at Corinth. He's had to correct the church in a lot of ways. It has a lot of Gentiles in it, has a lot of Jews in it. And Paul has given some order to them. He's had to correct them on the Lord's Supper. He's had to correct them in several other areas. And now he's having to correct them in the spiritual gifts. And so he says, follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He said, if a choice has got to be made now, he said, prophesying. Prophesying carries with it more than just predicting the future. It carries with it the preaching. It carries with it the expounding of God's word. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He weighs the positive of the prophesying there over the gift of the unknown tongue. So he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now he said, I would that ye all spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. He's telling the better choice now. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that in the church may receive edifying, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with a tongue, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life. Get verse 7 down real clear. Even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped to harp? I was listening to the special a while ago and hearing the violin. It's got a sound. You recognize what instrument makes the sound. And Paul is saying everything has a voice, has a significance. It has a sound. It has an identifying a sound to it is what he's saying. And that's where I want to park on the text this morning. And he uses this example, for if the trumpet, that's an instrument, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Now, in this rest of this chapter, I wish I had time, you have some great verses in the whole context where Paul is having to correct the church because they wanted that was, so to speak, more sensational to be placed above that was more edifying for the church. And so he's rebuking them on this, and he even says in verse 19, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, there was a purpose for the unknown tongue. I don't want to get into it too much. You can run the reference in Isaiah 28. You can find out where God did use it as a sign to unbelieving Jews, and almost always Jews were present when it was done, and it was a sign that God gave to them, but it was being abused here in the church at Corinth, and it's still being abused today. There's a lot of folks today still trying to copy something that don't pertain to them, and it leaves open for the devil to get in. And where they're looking for a fish, he gives them a stone, a counterfeit. And so Paul warns against this. You got verses in this chapter that says, let all things be done unto edifying in verse 26. You've got the verse down here in verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in the churches of the saints. And you won't like this next verse, verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. So what does that pertain to? It pertained to speaking in unknown tongues and taking the floor and claiming something that wasn't true. And by the way, if you watch today, that's still what's going on. And yet the verse says, let your women keep silence in the church. Don't mean they can't sing. Don't mean they can't speak. Don't mean they can't be a Sunday school teacher or something else. But it's in the context here of the abuse of the unknown tongue and having to do with words. Look at it in verse 19 again. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words. Words are important. Do you understand that? Words care meaning. A good vocabulary is important. I heard about the preacher that was so disappointed, he bought a used chainsaw and found out he lost his vocabulary in making it crank. He no longer remembered the vocabulary it took to get it cranked. He was concerned about it. Words do have meaning. One fellow said he used to eat a lot of natural food, Brother Lewis, until he read where folks are dying from natural causes. And so what I'm saying there is words do have some meaning to them, and Paul is talking about that here in the context. And so many of these verses are important, but our text in verse 8, Paul is using a military example. So it says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound. Then he says, if it's an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? He don't know whether the charge was blown and to go forward, or whether retreat was blown and he had to go back. He was all mixed up because the trumpet gave an uncertain sound. And Paul uses this illustration to teach the church here how that if an unlearned man comes in and everybody's doing their own thing, what's right in their eyes, and this one's got a psalm, and this one's got a tongue, and this one's got a prayer, this one's got a message, he said they're going to say you're mad, you're crazy. We believe in things being done decently in order. That's why when you come to Landmark, I discourage a lot of junk you'll see going on in a lot of other churches. It ought to be decently in order. I expect our young people to pay attention. I expect them to take a songbook and join the song service. I expect them to know something about what was preached sometime at the door. I've even asked a few, what did I preach on? And all the blank look you get. And then I ask the kids that sometime too, not just the adults. I'm joking around with you a little bit. But the truth of the matter is you ought to pay attention. You're going to be here. You're going to mark the time. Get something out of it. Put something in it. You'll get something out of it. Amen? And that's the way it ought to be. I want to take a little time here with you and deal with this verse 8 that Paul uses this example here to correct the church at Corinth and say something to you about what an uncertain sound does. To begin with, it causes confusion. Now, we already referred to verse over here, 33, where it says God is not the author of confusion. I want to tell you, if you want to know where God is not, he's not in confusion. Amen. That's always where you're going to find God. Now, you think about an uncertain sound causing confusion. You boys that play football, listen to me a minute. When you gather around in the huddle, that's why you have to be quiet and hear what the quarterback has to say. Because if everybody says, let's do this, blah, blah, next thing you know, you go up there and you don't know what the count is. You're going to jump off sides. You're going to go the wrong way, be in the wrong position. Confusion. You don't win a ball game with confusion. You win it with order. You win it with things being put in place. And the sound is so very important. Now, even more so in the military. If the military don't have the orders right, and I'm so sick and tired of hearing the news that our general from the field says I need 40,000 more, and what are we doing in the meantime? Debating back and forth the politicians in Washington whose lives are not on the line can't make up their mind to help our troops on the field. It's amazing. It's amazing. But confusion results from that. Medical orders, medical prescriptions. Boy, it's never been a more confusing day for that, has it? I picked this up, and I don't know if this is true, but it sure is confusing. It says, from the Daily Mail, August 15th, 2009, the warning that swine flu vaccine has been linked to deadly nerve disease has been sent to the by the United Kingdom, England, government, sent over here in a confidential letter. And the letter, the official body of the public health over there, is telling us here that more folks have been dying from the vaccine than from the disease. You say you believe that preacher? Don't know what to believe. I'm confused. Huh? That's what it says. It goes on and lists a brain disorder. Now, I could be working on some folks I know, whether they've had the shot or not. But it refers back to 1976 when we had the swine flu scare, and they had people start dying, and so after a few weeks, they stopped it. So I don't know what to believe. I'm a little confused on it. You say, well, I'm going to take one. We'll put your tithe in before you go get it, if you will. Now, I'm playing with you a little bit, but there's a lot of confusing stuff out there. You read one day where coffee's killing you and another day where it's good for you. By the way, I cited on the good for you. Amen. But an uncertain sound causes confusion. And we hear it so much today, hear it in government. I mean, are you a little bit confused over some things you're hearing? I mean, are you confused that an illegal immigrant, so to speak, you can accidentally cross the border into North Korea and get 12 years hard labor for it? I mean, you can even accidentally cross into Iran and be held hostage. But you cross the border into America, we'll give you a Social Security card, a driver's license, and free medical care, bless God. And we'll put you in a nice hotel while we're deciding to get these things for you. I'm a little confused over some of that. There's an uncertain sound going forth somewhere there. Just amazing. I mean, we've seen the young lady in the news fearing to go back to her parents because of the honor-killing business ordered by the Quran, the so-called holy book of Islam. Don't it confuse you just a little bit when you realize we're losing our freedom of speech when we can criticize everything else? But in Massachusetts right now, they're suing the Christian Network for criticizing Islam. What's happening, folks? There's some confusion. There's an uncertain sound coming forth that amazes me. I mean, what are we supposed to believe, really? See, they got the hate crimes bill passed. So we're going to find out the teeth they put in it to shut up fellows like me. And we'll find out about that. But it's a little bit of confusion. Yeah, our president went over to Cairo, Egypt, and he made a speech over there that brought me some confusion. In that speech, he spoke to the Muslims, and he said that we recognize that the Muslims have contributed to the American story. Their presence has been real in America from the beginning. I thought, that's confusing. It got so confusing, I've asked you folks to write a letter sometimes. I even thought I might write the president one. I don't know. Would you want to hear it? It's not really typed yet. I just hurriedly wrote it. You might could help me correct it some. Says, Dear Mr. President, I recently reread your statement made in Cairo that the Muslims have always been a contributing presence in America. I admit to have always been very interested in our country's history, so I'm somewhat confused with your statement. Did I miss somehow that Muslims were on the Mayflower or helped found Jamestown? Was it really Muslims and not Indians that helped us celebrate the first Thanksgiving? If so, Governor Bradford forgot to mention it, I guess. Then perhaps they helped us in the Revolutionary War round up the Redcoats like they helped Hitler round up the Jews in Jerusalem during World War II. Truthfully, search my mind as I can, I can't remember them helping us pioneer the West and find no mention of them at the Alamo. Perhaps one of my senior moments may have cost me remembering that it was Muslims, not Christians, that started our oldest colleges and hospitals. Oops, 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 I now remember. It was a Christian minister, Reverend Harvard, that the school is named after. Well, maybe Thomas Edison had a Muslim in the lab when the light bulb was invented, but kept us in the dark about it. I'm just wondering where I've missed them, since you say their presence has always been here in America as part of our story. Maybe they were hiding in Detroit, helping Henry Ford and the others get our great automobile industry started that our government owns now. Well, could it be they really secretly helping, were really secretly helping the Wright brothers invent the airplane, as they have certainly proved they understand how to use planes for their own interest? However, I hope 9/11 was not the contributing presence that you referred to. Well, I guess I've speculated enough for now. And please do forgive me if I sound somewhat skeptical. It's just that I'm having a hard time understanding this new transparent administration of yours. Unless that means that we can see right through some of the smoke that's being blown around. I will be anxiously waiting for your answer, and please send it before you make another apologetic trip overseas and confuse me more. For you see, I graduated from a government school before our history was rewritten to be politically correct. Signed, Pastor Carter, a clear-minded taxpayer. Amen. All right. If I can get one of the girls to type it, I might send it. And if I get an answer, I'll read it to you. Now, I have a little fun, but there's an uncertain sound going around. A confusing sound. I mean, man, not only though in government, but how about even in our families? Some of you young people, listen to me. We got young folks raised in this church. They heard what you're hearing this morning in Sunday school, in church. This is right. This is wrong. This is what the Bible says. This is what God's against. This is what he's for. And they heard all that. And they, mom and dad, oh yeah, you brought them to church and you told them what was right. And you did the best you could. And then you just turn them loose to the devil and put them in the devil's colleges, where the first thing they hear is this book attacked. That's a confusing sound. That's an uncertain sound. What are they supposed to believe? And you say, well, I don't know what happened to my kids. I raised them in church. I can tell you what happened. You let go of them too soon. You threw them to the wolves too soon. They were not prepared for the subtle attack that the devil put on them. But you said they had to have a degree to earn a living. I don't know about that. Some folks got by without it. If you got to sell your soul for a degree, the degree is not worth it, my friend. You're going to sell out your lifestyle to the devil just so you can say, well, I got my degree from somewhere that's recognized. How about heaven? How does it rate up there? How's it going to fare at the judgment seat of Christ when all our works are called forth and tried? Huh? I mean, the trumpet giving an uncertain sound. Paul was warning the church at Corinth. He said, if you do that, if you bring in confusion is going to destroy those that come in that need to hear the truth. And it's an uncertain sound when we raise our kids and then throw them out to the opposite of what we raised them by. I hurry on to say this. We're in a day today where the Bible is being attacked like never before. Don't you see the satanic hand of Satan in this? What other book is attacked like the Bible? It's not the Quran of the Islam. It's not the Vedas of the Hindus. It's the Word of God, because Satan knows what's real and what's not real. And his attack is on the Word of God. And we've been dealing with it some on Wednesday night, and because it's heating up again. And the whole truth is, we have God's Word just like he wanted us to have it. And I want to say to you, he's proven it's the pick. It's his, because he's used it through all these years. And God takes a dim view of messing with his Word. There's verses all through the Bible that tells you not to take to or take from or add to. In fact, I'll give you a Bible study this afternoon. I'm not naive enough to think you're going to do this. But when God asked me about it, I'm going to tell him I threw it out to you. Amen. There's a little Bible study for you. How does God feel about those that mess with his Word? Do you remember in the Old Testament? Do you remember over there in the book of Jeremiah, an old king, that when they brought the Word of God to him, he didn't like what it said? Do you remember how that he reached in his pocket and he took out his pen knife? I used to have one. Anyway, he took it out and he cut it out and he threw it in the fireplace. Even though they tried to keep him from doing it, and God had to give it again to Jeremiah. Hey, by the way, it's already settled in heaven. God don't have any problem of giving it to us, right? Amen. But anyway, the king destroyed the word of God. But a long time, let me give you the chapters. You tried Jeremiah chapter 22 and you tried Jeremiah chapter 36. And if you'll put it together and read it close, here's what you'll come up with. You'll come up with in chapter 22 that God made a prediction that this bad king of Judah was going to have the same type burial that a donkey was given. Now, hear me good. Kings had a royal burial. They had a royal funeral. They had a lot of folks propping them up with glory. But God said about this man, before he ever done it now, God said he's going to have the burial of, the Bible uses the word ass. He's going to have the burial of an ass. Now, you know what the burial of an ass was? It was when the donkey died in the street, they hooked some others to him, and they drug him outside the wall. He didn't even get a burial. He went out there to rot outside the city where the stink wouldn't be so bad. And God said, that's what's going to happen to this king. And you read on further and get over in Jeremiah chapter 36 where he cuts up the word of God. And then you read his end. And God said, I'm going to take his body out just like I predicted. Didn't have a king's burial. What was his great sin? Well, I'm sure he had many, but one of them was cutting up the word of God. Destroying the word of God. Hey, it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And if anything makes him angry, it's tampering with his word. And I'm telling you, when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, we've got a certain sound. We've got the word of God. We've got it plain. We better leave it alone and act on it. And instead of pulling it down, get up there where it's at. That's God's plan. Raise the standard. You don't pull it down to your low level. God won't let you do that. What does an uncertain sound do? It causes confusion. What else does it do? Well, the confusion always has a cost to it. It cost in the battle. Now, this verse talks about how can you be prepared for the battle. Do you understand that life itself is a battle? There's the struggle of life. There's good days and bad. There's ups and downs. Do you understand in the Christian life there is still a Christian warfare? That there is a battle? We know who wins the war. Jesus has won it for us. We've got the victory out there. But in the meantime, we got some struggle. A Christian can get cancer. A Christian can go bankrupt. A Christian can have a broken heart. I mean the best people. Listen, the truth of the matter is it rains on the just and unjust alike, the scripture says. And so, yes, we're in a struggle. But if I'm following a clear sound and know the direction I'm going and what my orders are, bless God, I'd be prepared for the warfare. And that's what we need. But the uncertain sound has a cost to it. Confusion always costs. It costs in battles. We can look at physical battles. And by the way, let me say to you older folks, it's going to cost us in our grandkids. Our grandkids are not going to have the same America to grow up in we had. I want to say to you, if the trend continues, and whether you like this or not, Islam is the fastest regrowing religion. They've got the sword, brother. They chop off heads. I'm talking to you, they've already pretty well taken several European nations, and we're certainly not stopping them in America. We're coming along trying to pacify them, trying to bribe them. And the truth is we ought to be standing against that thing. We ought to be warning our kids about it. We ought to be trying to keep it out of America. They didn't sign the Declaration of Independence. They didn't write the Constitution. They didn't walk out in the streets for civil rights. They didn't try to get the women's right to vote. They had nothing to do with America. You see how they treat women, and yet we try to pacify them. My soul. I mean, this confusion is costing us, folks. You know, the liberals only attacked real Christianity, real churches, the real Bible. That's what they do. You see their hand, it's Satan's hand. Do you understand that it's always been that way? You go back to the days of Rome, the Roman Empire, back Caesar's days, who did they throw to the lions? The Christians. Now, wait a minute. They conquered other nations with pagan gods, but they didn't throw them to the lions. just the Christians. That's the devil. You understand what I'm saying? In fact, there's a big building. Some of it's still standing. Quite a bit of it's still standing in Rome right now, called the Pantheon. Do you know what the word means? It means the place of the gods. So when they conquered a nation, they brought their pagan gods in them and put them in the Pantheon. You could go in and see their idols. But they didn't put Christians in there. They put them in the arena with the lions. Understand? Satan knows what's real. Satan knows what he's attacking. He knows what he's doing. And so don't be shocked today when he attacks the Word of God or when he attacks the real church of the Lord. The truth of the matter is, he knows who is stealing souls from him. And he's on the warpath against Christianity. I want to say to you, yes, the uncertain sound causes confusion. And confusion has a cost to it. But thank God, I want to tell you, there is a certain sound. It's intimated in the verse. If there's an uncertain sound, there must be a certain sound. Amen. And so what is the certain sound? Well, the certain sound is the sound of Jesus. It's the sound of his word. If I were to have you run the references, you could go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul talks about that in Jesus it's not yea and nay. In other words, it's not on the fence. But in Jesus, all the promises are yea. It's positive all the way. We're in a day of confusion where everybody wants to sit on the fence. I don't know if coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you. I don't know whether to take the shot or whether not to take the shot. Everybody's so confused today because we don't have a clear, certain sound. But when it comes to the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got a certain sound. We need to follow that sound. Yes, the sound of Jesus. You know, early America did follow it. Oh, yeah, that's why all of our greatness that we're using up and seeing wash away and blow away came from people that were following a certain sound. The right sound, sound of God's word. That's what they were following. I mean, man, you still see remnants of it. You know, you go in the courthouse, there may be a judge sitting there that if you got him in the corner and privately talked to him, he might claim to be an atheist. But guess what you're going to swear in on? The Bible. The Bible. There's still remnants of what America had as a foundation. They had the Word of God as a foundation. And the truth of the matter is, the further we get away from it, the deeper our troubles get. The more we kick God out of school, the more our schools have to be policed. And the more you go where God is left out, something bad takes his place every time. I'm glad to stand up here this morning and tell you there's a certain sound concerning salvation. Only one certain sound. Jesus said, I am the way, not one of many ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Not by Muhammad, not by Buddha, not by Mary Baker, Patterson, Glover, Eddy, not by any of the cult leaders, but by Jesus. That's the certain sound. He's the way, the only way. You read in the Bible, find out that he said, John said of Jesus, John the Baptist said of Jesus, said he was in the world, made the world. The world knew him not, that he came unto his own received him not, but unto as many as did receive him. Unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's the certain sound, my friend. That's the sound. It's not, I hope I'm saved. You know it or you know you're not. Quit fooling yourself. You sit there this morning listening to me in radio land or in this building. You are saved or lost. You're not halfway between. The sound is certain. It's not uncertain. Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's certain. Thank God it's certain. You say, but I joined the church when I was a kid. Fine. Did you get saved? I got baptized. Fine. Did you get saved first? You say, well, I've been pretty good. That don't have a thing to do with it. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? The certain sound is you're saved or you're lost. You believe on him, you don't believe on him. You trusted him, you don't trust him. Your name's written in heaven or it's not written in heaven. Certain, certain, certain. Oh, the good news is there's a certain sound. I heard the men saying a while ago about our sins being buried, brother. The deepest sea. I got news for you. That's the sea of God's forgetfulness they were thinking about. Ah, brother, that's security. That's security. Have you ever come to the place in your life you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. If I died today, I'd be lost. Have you ever come to that place? Then you're just admitting the truth. Because this Bible has a certain sound. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's certain. That's not if, maybe. That's not your neighbor. It's everybody. All. All means all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all the good news is that we that are sinners can trust Christ. And when he died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. He bought us the ticket to heaven free. When we receive him, we get eternal life as a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a certain sound. I'm glad one day I could walk down from a pew and come down front where the preacher was and receive a certain salvation. Certain. You say, how long ago, preacher, has that been? That's been many, many years ago. But you know what? I'm as sure of heaven as if I'd already been there 10,000 years. Because it's certain. It's certain in Jesus Christ. All the promises are yea in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this trumpet can give a false sound, Paul said in verse 8. He said here the trumpet give an uncertain sound. The world's got all kind of trumpets blowing all kind of uncertain sounds. But in Jesus Christ you can be certain. I've read in the days of the old West, conquering of the West they call it. And of course the Indians, many times hostile Indians would encircle some folks in a fort or in a just a single house. And one of the things the people had to learn to be careful about was the Indians had been around long enough. They'd heard the cavalry blow the trumpet. And if they could get a hold of a trumpet or mock the sound, sometime one of their tricks was to get close. When a house or fort was under siege and pretend to blow the trumpet, to make the folks think the cavalry was coming. And they dropped their defense. They'd come out of the fortress to welcome the cavalry. But it was a false trumpet. It was an uncertain sound. They were deceived. And many lost their lives that way. They learned to know what was the real sound and what was the false sound. And I want to ask you today, do you know the real sound from the false sound? Do you know the certain sound from the uncertain sound? I hope you do. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in the certainty that is yours when you believe on him to have your sins forgiven? Holy Spirit come live within you, turn you from your way to his way. Have you got that certain sound you're following today? Paul warned this church of an uncertain sound that would bring confusion. If you're confused today, you can get rid of it. You can cast it all aside and come to the certain sound of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? It's what Jesus said when he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. That's a certain sound from the very lips and heart of the Savior that died for your sins on the cross. Would you receive him today? I pray that you will. You leave here. The world's got all kind of uncertain sounds to confuse you, mislead you, and finally damn you to a devil's hell. But you can come to that one certain sound, the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him as your Savior. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads.